All right, guys, welcome back to AzureConf. This is going to be a session on some really, really fun stuff. I've been looking so much forward to standing in front of you guys today to actually be the one who is on this side of the camera instead of watching at home. So I just I want to give a quick shout out to Sweden. It's now 23:39 back home in Sweden, if anybody is watching. Hey, guys, let's get going. Has your boss ever come into your office demanding a demo environment, like right now, get it done? This has happened to me. Do the testers come into your office saying that, dude, I need to get the latest build on the test server so I can do the tests, because otherwise that feature is not going to be part of the sprint goal? Ever happened to you? And did you ever deploy the development connection strings to production? Yeah, that has happened to me. And I'm now underneath the desk because, seriously, historically, when you did this on Windows Azure, it took like 20 minutes to deploy something to Azure, and that's not good. And there was really no error checking historically to think of, really. If you made a mistake, that was your problem. And historically, the failures that you did, they meant that you had to start over again. I'm still down here, by the way. That really sucks. But now, today, is much better. Today, you get almost instant deploy times to Windows Azure, which is awesome. And today, many of the errors that you make actually give you compile times or deploy time errors for you to hook up to and check out before you actually deploy. And I mean, today, failures can still happen, right? But seriously, who cares if it's really fast to deploy? So remember the boss and the testers? I'm going to show you some stuff today that's going to make those guys go away for good. All right? So stick with me, folks. My name is Magnus Martinsson, and I'm a Windows Azure Most Valuable Pilot, Most Valuable Professional. I work for a consultancy in Sweden called Active Solution. That's a consultancy with a simple and clear goal to be the best .NET consultants in Sweden. All right. Sweden also has SWAG, or Sweden Windows Azure User Group, SWAG for short. We have a website, and this September, we did a conference called Cloudburst 2012. That was a really, really great conference. We managed to get like 1,300 viewers online, kind of like you people now, online for our user group event. And we had people from 53 countries, if I recall correctly. And that was really powerful and fun stuff. So we're definitely going to come back and do a Cloudburst 2013. So stay tuned for that, folks. All right. Oh, what's this, Magnus? Well, are you going to plug your own webcast right now? Yeah. I actually am. My brand new webcast is called MS Netcast, the Magnanimous Software Netcast. I've got an interview on there right now with Glenn Block talking about Windows Azure PowerShell, so you can go and listen to that. Not right now, after my session, you can go and listen to that. I also have something coming up with Mats Torgersen in a bit. So what you should do is you should go and subscribe to this feed right here. And I'm actually going to show you a bit.ly link to get you guys going and subscribe to my feed. So stay tuned for more interesting webcasts on the msnetcast.com. All right, so I've been messing around a bit in the start of this session, and I will attempt to stop doing that right now. And here's me failing, because at the end of this session, I hope that we will have a secret guest in the room. He's here now. He's standing outside showing his face for me. He's a secret anonymous guest right now, and he'll be here right at the end of the session delivering some news, actually, something beyond what I'm going to show you today, the next stuff that's going to be delivered from Microsoft in this area. All right? So, okay. On to the session. The horseless carriage is a symbol for change and how difficult it can be to cope with change during times of big changes, right? So I work as a consultant, as I just said, and being a consultant means that you get to visit many different types of companies. Some companies that I see are basically startups or small companies are usually quite adaptive, and they know how to change, and that's okay. change is good, change is okay at least, right? But I also see other companies where change is really, really scary, and you don't really want to change anything that you already got going. So that means sometimes that you might miss out on opportunities that you otherwise might have had. So the horseless carriage here is, of course, going back to when carriages started to be able to be automatically mobile on their own, right? They were automobiles. So you'd see carriages going down the street without a horse in front of them, and people would be really, really scared of this. And so so as to cushion the blow for some people, what they did was they added the opportunity for the added a horse's head to the front of the carriage, right? So that people weren't going to be so scared of the carriage when they approached it. And also, actually, some of the first designs of these had a whip holder on them, because, you know, if you don't have a whip holder, where are you going to put your whip, right? So changes. Let's talk about those. Here's the biggest change. The biggest potential on a cloud platform is multi-tenancy. And I've been sort of racking my brain on what imagery should portray multi-tenancy. And I was thinking, and I found out that, you know, the Holy Grail is a good symbol here, because this is actually quite true, that the Holy Grail of the cloud is multi-tenancy. So the inverse of multi-tenancy is single tenancy. And if you have that, you're basically building, let's say, a product, and you're shipping that, you're boxing it up and shipping it away to your customers, or you may be installing it on your customer systems, meaning that, literally, that if you have many customers and many installations to maintain, you have to give support to each and every customer individually. All of them expect support, right? And also, if you want to do an upgrade on those systems, you have the problem with every customer maybe not in a position where they want the latest changes, so they may resist the changes, and then you have support on different versions going every which way. This means, of course, that your scalability will be hindered. You won't be able to scale to like millions and millions of users, right? Or thousands of customers, because that's just not doable. So if you then go and do instead multi-tenancy on the cloud, for instance, you get a scenario where you run only one application. All of your customers log into the same service that you provide, the same application, and it's under your control. That means that you can then do any publication, any fix, or any upgrade, or anything to your own system, and your customers won't be the wiser, unless, of course, your service goes down. Actually, that brings us to a good point, right? What if the service goes down? It can never go down. You have to always be able to deploy it, and it has to work every time. There can never be a problem. There can never be anything that goes wrong. So let's do another analogy on that. Let's go over to continuous delivery, because that's what this session is all about, continuous delivery. Some people call this continuous deployment. It's roughly the same thing. I like continuous delivery better. It sounds better in my ears. So this is what you have, you treat your software and your production line as an assembly line, really. What you do is that every time you build your code, it gets built and tested and packaged up and deployed, and everything is automatic. Now you can do this from end to end. You can literally have developers developing code, the latest features, hitting commit or push or submit or whatever you do to get your code into your repository, and that then gets shipped all the way through the system, all the way out to production. Now we're coming back to the scary part, right? Some companies go like, what? You can't do that. That's crazy. There's got to be like sign-offs and things and handoffs and documents, and everything's got to be in order. And, you know, the test manager has to have his say and everything, you know, and so forth. Well, guess what? There are companies that are doing this today. Like, literally, they are deploying everything they have continuously to live production. It can be done. I've seen it being done. Actually, one of the speakers at AzureConf is representing a company that is doing this today. So I'm not saying that everybody has to do it. I'm not saying that you have to submit stuff that goes straight to production. You can also do submit it and it goes to a testing environment. And then you can do some checks there, whatever you like. And then afterwards, you can do some other thing that pushes it to production. The important thing is that you remember that it all comes down to three little words. And those words are automate, automate, automate. Okay? So you gotta automate everything. Everything that can be automated in this process, it must be automated. Because if you're doing it manually, you're doing two things. One, you're wasting time. Two, you're introducing a human component into the delivery of your product, and that's going to fail you sometimes. It just is. So really, do it automated, because that's the only way to go. Okay? So, luckily, there is support for this in Windows Azure, and that's what we're talking about now. So, I'm going to start with a simple demo doing web deploy. I'm going to go over to my browser here. I'm logged in. And I'm going to create myself a new website. That one is available. I'm going to put it on that account. So, new blank website. There's nothing on this site right now. It's being created. Let's see where it is. Hang on. It's this one right here. So if I hit it, I just created a site called gitmagnusdemo.azurewebsites.net. And you can all browse to it right now. It's right there. Actually, that's not the one I wanted. My apologies. It's this one. I had several. This one. gitdemomagnus.azurewebsites.net. That's the one. It's brand new. There's nothing there, so it just has a template deployment, really. Nothing in there. So what we're going to start by doing is we're going to go into Visual Studio. I have a Git project here, a project which I'm going to submit to Git later. That's why I called my demo Git. What I want to do now is I want to publish this thing first to just using web deploy, and I'm going to use Git later on. So I'll just go and say publish. When I hit publish, I get prompted to import a publish settings file, and I don't have one right now. So I need to go back to the portal, click on my site, and I get download a published profile. I download it to my disk. I switch back to Visual Studio, and there it is. That's the publishing profile that I just downloaded. So I open that up, and I get everything I need to do a web deploy right from Visual Studio. All of the service URLs, all of the usernames and passwords and everything, and I just hit publish. So now we're publishing from Visual Studio straight to the cloud, right into my application, which is running live, my website, which is running live. And in a Microsoft Minute, I get myself a Git. It's now deployed, and you can see that I have an old template MVC application here. So I'm going to do like, I literally don't have any content inside of my applications. They're just file, new, web application, etc. I didn't want to confuse these demos, which are all about deployment only, with some content inside of the sites, right? So all I really have is like old message, new message. And I'm going to change, like make really, really small changes. So I'm going to change old to new. Hit save. I'm going to publish again just to show you how fast that is. Publish. Publishing again. And I'm there. New. Done. Okay? I'm up and running. Cool. So I have my website published. And let's move on. So we're talking mostly about websites in this, and this actually we're only talking about websites in this presentation. So that I just want to run by the two other options you have to deploy your applications to Windows Azure. So just to give you guys context, you also have the cloud service option, and apart from websites, where you get to deploy a custom application, quite similar to a website. We can do a lot more there with the cloud services. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that right now, but let's talk about the virtual machines first. So the virtual machines is literally you running virtual machines on Windows Azure. You're deploying a VM and you're running something, whatever you like. You can run Linux on there, you can run a Windows server, and you can run any application deployed or installed on those servers, and everything will just work beautifully. So on the one hand, I'd like to say that that's just like doing, like simply running VMs in Windows Azure. But that's not it. Like, that's not enough. It doesn't describe, give you the full picture. The full picture includes that you can do stuff like, hey, I want to have a hard drive right now. You can just go and add yourself a 1 terabyte hard drive or one terabyte hard drives if you want to. And they're going to be right there immediately because of the backbone that is running behind the scenes, like the whole server that is the whole platform that is Windows Azure, right? You can do really powerful things like virtual private networking, where you can connect several VMs in a network together so that they can actually see each other on that network. You can connect that network to your on-premise network back home, to your server literally running in your closet, if you like. And there are a bunch of other features inside of the Windows Azure platform, meaning that if you host your VMs on the Windows Azure platform, that's really like hosting virtual machines on steroids, because you've got so much power to tap into, so many services that you don't have to build or maintain yourselves. Moving on then, moving back one more step towards cloud websites, the middle one is cloud services. Now, cloud services differ from infrastructure as a service, the virtual machines, in a sense that because they're now platform as a service or PaaS, which means that you can now run, you build your application, you bring your application and your data to Windows Azure, and you deploy it there, and you let it run there, and you don't worry anything at all about the fact that it's running on a virtual machine, the fact that that machine has an OS that needs patching or anything like that, and the fact, well, everything beneath that in the stack as well, right? The hardware, the networking, the load balancing, everything is just taken care of for you. While everything is being taken care of for you, you still have full control over the machines. And that's where it gets tricky. You can actually run like PowerShell scripts with full admin privileges on those machines. You can change any settings on those machines, and it'll just work. And doing that, that's actually where Microsoft started their journey to the cloud. That was in the first release, was cloud services. It was called something else back then, but it's called hosted services, I believe. But now they're called cloud services. And this is platform as a service, and that's really, really, if you think about it, that's really difficult to do. And it's really awesome that you're able to do this in the cloud, in the Windows Azure. And not only that, I mean, you still have access to all of that nice storage and the service bus and caching and all of the other features that are in the platform. That's really powerful and useful. Then going back to the websites, right? You can build your websites in ASP.NET or Node.js or anything like that. PHP works fine, and then you can like scale up. You can start by running free instances, free websites on Windows Azure, just for testing and doing demos like I'm doing today. They're all running in free instances. Then after a while, you might want to scale up. You can do both. You can actually scale up your instances to bigger machines running multiple cores, and you can scale out to many machines running with a load balancer in front of it. So when you do a deployment, you just do a web deploy to one site. You might have three instances, but from your web deployment angle, it looks like it's just one. And behind the scenes, Microsoft is actually deploying that to all of your three instances, and that's really powerful as well. We're not going to talk very much more about scaling and stuff like that today. We're going to stick to the middle arrow there, talking about deploying in seconds using some other deployment methods. First, though, I love this quote. This is a good quote. Microsoft believes that PaaS provides the best foundation for creating and running and managing custom applications. Now, it doesn't say that it's a good foundation for creating and running and managing custom applications. It says that it's the best foundation for creating and running and managing custom applications. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you can run your applications, if you can just focus your business on building the applications that you want and deploying them to the cloud, not caring anything at all about any hardware or any operating systems or any logs that need to be cleaned out or any patches that need to be rolled out or anything like that, you can really focus on your core business and leave everything else to somebody else. And okay, so this obviously does not mean that Microsoft is not investing very heavily in infrastructure as a service with the virtual machines, because they are. Because some things can't really run well as a platform application, as a PaaS service, sorry. And you really need to have options, good options. Some people like to run virtual machines, and that's okay too. But if you can, if you have the opportunity to move over to PaaS, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're doing less administrative tasks and more focusing on your core business. All right, so the publishing methods that are supported in Windows Azure, I'm not going to talk very much about FTP, even though, I mean, you can connect with an FTP client and upload your files. Well, that's nice. I showed you web deploy already. We also have Git, which I'm going to show you a lot of. You can deploy using Git only in Windows Azure, or you can connect that up to CodePlex or Bitbucket or GitHub using Git, and then I'm going to show you this. And also, I'm going to show you Team Foundation Server, Team Foundation Service, actually. We're going to talk about Team Foundation Server and how that could work as well here. And I'm also going to show you a custom way of doing things that is not one of these, but is actually just another option that you might have as well. All right, so first we're going to do Git support for publishing websites to Windows Azure. I'm going to show you Git support using GitHub. I could have used Bitbucket or CodePlex. I actually have accounts and actually have code on each one of those. But I'm going to show you GitHub. And at the same time, I'm going to also show you the Team Foundation service. That is the Team Foundation server as a service, which you can just pick up and use. All right, so we go back to the portal. We have our Git demo Magnus site set up here. What I want to do with this is, as I said before, I'm going to connect it to, I'm going to set up Git publishing for this guy. What happens when I click set up Git publishing is that Windows Azure is creating a Git repository for my website in Windows Azure. And I can now publish, if I like, using this Git URL, just publish stuff right there and it'll go right to the site. But I'm not going to do that in this demo because I'm going to go instead and connect GitHub. It's a one simple one-step authorization thing here. And I've actually already done that, so I'm now connecting to, I believe it's that one, yes. Windows Azure Websites Demo. All right, so now what is happening is that the Git server in Windows Azure is cloning my GitHub repository, cloning that over, and since it's not an empty repository, what it's going to do is it's actually going to build and deploy everything that is in that repository, and we might in a while. I should do some dancing right now, right? I should do like whoop, 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 whoop a Gangnam style or something. Just a second, because right, the first time it's going to copy everything over, right? And that's going to take a little bit of time. It should appear momentarily, folks. Let's see. Yeah. Anybody have a question you can ask him online? It's too bad it's taking more time than usual. It usually takes about, I don't know, about 10 seconds. We can go while we wait. We can go into GitHub. And I've got my demo site right here. So as you can see, it's got a web app right in there. Let's see. It's actually not deploying. Bummer. Oh, we got time. What I'm going to do while we wait is I'm going to go over to the other part of the demo, which is Team Foundation Service. I've got here a service hooked up to, let me zoom in for you. So I have a WAVS demo 2, as it turns out, under my Visual Studio, my Team Foundation Service account, which is magnus.visualstudio.com. So I have that right in there. And what I'd like to do now is change the, let's go back to the site, of course, first and do, it's this one right here, and browse to it first. So then you see that I have the actually have the deployment that I'm talking about. Browse to it. And here we have it soon. So it's right here with the old message, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire off a change here. I'm going to make it a new message. And I'm going to commit that change. new message. Check it into my Team Foundation service and let that run its course, do its building and deploying and everything in the background while we head back to this guy, which may or may not have deployed. It's not deploying. All right. What we're going to do while we wait for the other one is, we have time, don't worry. We're going to quick create another one, git magnus demo 2, just like that. And we got another site, right? We're going to do it once more with a different site. It's being created right now, and it's right there. So we're going to try to connect that instead. Set up git publishing. Going to go over that again. And we're creating ourselves another Git repository. And it's right there. And I'm going to set it up with GitHub, same way that I did before. This may be a problem. And we're back. Okay. Interesting. So the web's demo, let's try to connect that again. See if it works this time on this other site. And while we wait, we might want to browse over to that site as well. It's another empty site, right? Just like the one before. Let's see if we get a deployment this time. If we don't, it's going to sting a little bit, I have to be honest with you. Anyway. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go and try to push code into this site just to make sure that it might trigger it to get going. I'm just going to send in the old message here to have a change. And I've got the Git Windows Azure demo right here. I'm going to do git status on this thing. So we got changes. I'm going to do a git add. I'm going to do git add. I'm going to do git commit with a little message here. Then I'm trying to push in the old message. I got a slash right there. Hang on. There we go. Now I'm going to do a git remote. Just to show you guys what I'm pushing it to. Hang on. So there we go. I'm pushing it to GitHub. All right, that's not the one. Sorry, guys. Let's go and do... Right. It is the one. I'm going to push that one just to get that going and make sure that I have that site up and running here. Just a second. Yeah, that's the one. So I'm pushing a change which I made to this one over to my server, and let's see what we have. Ah, there you go. We actually have the deployment right now. Cool. Great, we're back. Haha. So here's the site. If I refresh, just took a while to get there. I didn't know why, actually. I've been doing the demos all day. So we have the site right there. Okay, cool. I might have done a second push right now, but let's go and do the change that I wanted to do. Let's set it to the new message and save and go back to our git and do again the dance. We do a git. Let's do git add. Let's do git commit with new message 2 just to be sure. And then let's do a git push. So what we really wanted to see was this guy deploying a new version. It seemed like we kicked it off somehow, starting to go. It didn't pull the first version for some reason, but it seems to be okay now. And while we're doing that, let's go back also to the one which we use Team Foundation Service to push over. And I've been having some demo issues right now, so I had a nice joke all lined up for you that I wanted to go into my demo here and see that the deployment had failed. But now since I've had a couple of demo ghosts in here, that's not so funny anymore. Anyway, I'm going to show you why it failed. We'll go in view log on this thing, which takes us over to Team Foundation Service. And you can see down here that I have a test called some demo test, which actually failed during build or during the testing phase of my deployment here. If I go back to Team Foundation Service and I locate that test, you see here that it has an assert fail on it, right? So it failed because it asserts fail. And it's a demo test right there, so I just wanted it to fail to show you that TFS also runs the tests, right? So we're going to do that. We're going to commit this thing again with the working test, right? We're going to check that in. We're going to see it deploy one more time. I just wanted to point out to you guys that, yes, TFS actually runs the tests. Let's see if our second deployment, that's the TFS one. Let's go over to the Git one. It does not seem to be. I think I got it connected to the wrong demo. So let's just ignore the Git one, which is fine. The funny thing about also deploying like this using TFS or using GitHub is that you get this history here, this deployment history. See, now it's deploying the new version. And what I can do with that is something really good. It's actually walking back through time, that I like to call it. And I have now deployment coming in for the new change that I made. And then hopefully we have, let's let that run through. So we have the old message right there. And now we're probably deploying the new message. And I'll show you. Deployment is taking time. All right. It's deploying right now. So now it's deployed the new message, and the portal has not refreshed itself yet. All right, cool. So now we have the new one deployed and no deployment history. Okay. Right, so what you can do All right, so we only have one active deployment right here right now. I don't know why, but let's just leave it at that and proceed to the next demo, I think. That's fine. All right, so the Team Foundation Service. This is a bit of an eye chart. It's like you hold one hand over your eye and you try to read the bottom line, right? So let's not focus too much on that right now. Instead, focus, like I said, on the bottom line. The bottom line with the Team Foundation Service is that it is now live. It's running live in production, and for up to 5 users, you can run Team Foundation Service for free. And also for a limited time right now, everybody runs it for free, regardless of how many users you have in your project. Now, the payment model for Team Foundation Service is going to be available in 2013, they've said. I don't know exactly when, but that's it's going to come out soon. And also, you need to go and check your MSDN subscriptions, because if you have those, they will give you a bunch of free usage of Windows of Team Foundation Service as well, probably. I don't know the details of that, but I've been told that that's going to be the case. So you head over to tfs.visualstudio.com, and then there you have it. All right, cool. Now, the cloud service thing, as you remember, there were 3 options to deploy your applications to Windows Azure. You had websites, you had cloud services, and you had infrastructure as a service. Now, we're doing mostly cloud websites on this demo, and I'm not actually going to go and demo cloud services. But a cool thing about cloud services using TFS on Windows Azure is that if you commit changes to a cloud service, which has a Windows Azure deployment to it and commit and deploys to a cloud service, It's actually going to build and deploy using the running the same tests, etc., as it does when it deploys to websites. But it's going to go and deploy your application. Let's see if I have a cloud service right here. So it's going to deploy your. You have two slots when you're running a cloud service. The cloud service slot for production is the one which has the URI for your service, and that's the live production slot. Then you have a duplicate of that, which is called staging. And in the staging slot, you can deploy an equally functioning service right there, which has it has a different URI. And what happens then is that you can then go and swap those two, doing what is known as a VIP swap. And that's swapping the virtual IPs inside of the networking load balancer, so that it then points the one site to the other site and just swaps the places for them. So you can go from staging to production in just like that. So the default setting for doing continuous delivery for a cloud service is that when the build is done, it deploys to staging. You can change that if you like to go immediately to production, but the fact that you have a staging slot on cloud services makes it so that you can have a staging deployment and really take advantage of that feature. You might not want to do that if you have a lot of instances in your deployment, because you're paying for whatever you have put in your staging slot as well as the one you have in production. You're paying for both, so you might not want to deploy if you have many instances in that way. Then you might want to set it up so that you go straight to production and do an in-place upgrade instead, like swapping your instances live, doing a deployment like that, right? Now also you can do, of course, continuous delivery using Team Foundation Server. A lot of people have servers instead of having the Team Foundation service. And you should continue using those. Like you've already invested in those, you have your code there, and that's fine. If you would like to deploy to the, using the Team Foundation server instead, doing the similar way as the service is doing, it's not much of a problem actually. What you need to do is you need to go to your what I would have done if I were you is to go and create a Team Foundation service account and do like a demo deployment thing that I've done right now. And what you get in here is you get your build process templates right in there in your when you create your account. And in there, you have stuff like Azure Continuous Deployment that you could like copy over or try to emulate the same kind of behavior on your Team Foundation server. So that's just a tip to get started there. All right. Now, the cool thing about doing deployments to Windows Azure is that everything is supported with WebDeploy. So I have a little demo here where I'm going to do a dual deployment with just one swing, and that's kind of fun. So I have a solution for that. It's called dual application. The scenario is that I have a web application and, for instance, a web API, two different applications. You might have some kind of site.com, and then you might have api.somekindofsite.com, and those are two different applications, and then you might have two different web applications for that. But you might want to deploy those to Windows Azure. And it's what you can do with that is something like this. So you can do an MS build call here, the dual application solution, and then you do, just a second, just noticed a mistake there. No, that's actually, oh, that's good actually. Yeah, that's fine. I don't want to make any more mistakes, so I just gotta make sure that I'm doing it right. Deploy on build is what you're doing. You're doing MS build and then you call deploy on build, and what MS build will do then is it's gonna call web deploy. I have a publishing profile right there and some more configuration, and /m is actually doing them in parallel, which is cool. So we'll just hit enter there, and we're going to start up a deployment to Windows Azure. And I'm going to show you right here what it's actually doing now is actually pushing the old message back out there again. So what we're going to do is go back to the portal, go back to our websites, and on our websites, we're going to do the dual API site there. That's the API site. I'm going to remove the old ones. And we also have the website right there. So these are the ones that I'm deploying to. I have the one with the old message right there. That's the web API site. And I have soon the website with old message as well. So I'm going to go into Visual Studio, and I'm going to do a change here, of course, to new, the same as I've done with the other ones. And new, just save like that. And if I now do the same deployment again, once more, it's going to run its course like it just like it did right now. And it's deploying both of the websites with one go. That's kind of like having a shooting two zombie heads with one crossbow bolt, if you like. All right, so we're going to go back to our websites and refresh them and make sure that, yes, I have the new message right there. And on the other one, I have the new message right there. So you can do really cool and powerful things with Web Deploy and with MS Build. And there's a bunch of stuff being built in to add to those features continuously. And that's really, really cool and useful. So there's one more thing that I want to show you guys. I'm going to show you a non-Microsoft demo. And when I say no Microsoft in this case, I don't mean, of course, in the same sense that you say NoSQL. NoSQL, everybody knows that that actually stands for not only SQL, right? Other types of databases, not only SQL. So in this case, I mean not only Microsoft. I'm going to show you a demo where I'm using some other technology other than Microsoft technology to do the same type of deployment to Windows Azure. So I'm not using the Git service in Windows Azure. I'm not using Web Deploy. I'm actually using Web Deploy, but I'm not using the Team Foundation service. All right, so I have that right here. It's this one. All right, so I'm going to deploy this. I'm going to say new right there. And I have that's in Git, by the way, so I need to go to this one. And I'm going to go focus in on that so you can see. We're going to do git add. We're going to git commit. And I'm going to do a git push. So now I'm pushing something off to Git again, a different website. I'm pushing it off to Git, same as I've done before. And what's going to happen to that one? Let me show you. Going back to the portal again, and then I have the some other test site right here. The some other test site, if I browse to it, looks like this. It hasn't deployed yet, I think, so probably hit it before it has deployed. So I have it right here with the old message, and it's right there. It's doing some kind of deployment right now. While it's doing that in the background, I want to go back to the slides and hit one more slide forward, and that's configuration management. I want to show you guys that you have some pretty powerful configuration management support built into the Windows Azure Websites portal that you can do some really interesting things with. And that's going to take us back to our website. I'm going to hit configure. And under configure, I have the option to change app settings and connection strings. Now, what I can do with that, of course, is that I can enter app settings and connection strings inside of the portal, which will override whatever I have in my web config. So I might have the development connection string to the database in my web config, and all my developers know is that they can just push the code into GitHub. That code will then get pulled from GitHub and built and deployed, et cetera, et cetera. And even including actually deploying the original web config with the dev connection string in it. And I'll enter an override in the portal, which is going to intercept that request to get the connection string. And it's going to give you the live string instead, which is really, really useful. What I've done here is I've added an app setting called disclose deployment method, which I've set to false. I'm going to switch it over to true. Actually, before I hit save, I'm going to show you over in the application there in my web config that it's set. The same thing is set to false right there, okay? So it's set to false in my web config. It was set to false in my portal, but now I'm going to save it to true instead. So I'm going to override whatever setting I had. And if I go now and refresh this thing, I will disclose which method I'm using to publish to Windows Azure. And maybe the old message has also changed to the new message. It has, so it's deployed. So not only have we deployed with the new message, we've done so using TeamCity. So I'm running TeamCity, and where am I running TeamCity? Well, that's interesting that you want to ask. I'm running TeamCity on a virtual machine, right there. I'm running TeamCity on a virtual machine in Windows Azure. So I've taken a virtual machine, a Windows Server 2012, and I've installed TeamCity on it. So I can just browse to that if I like and log in. To TeamCity, and there it is. Now, it's not very exciting to look at like this. I might kick off another build or something like that and show you that, yes, it's actually, in fact, going through TeamCity, doing a build, running the tests, and then after the test and the build is done, it does a deployment using this process right here. So that's cool. I'm happy that that worked out fine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to write this up afterwards, because we had to do a little bit of configuration and stuff. So I'm going to do a blog post on this showing exactly how you do if you want to deploy to Windows Azure using TeamCity. Okay, that's cool. So most of my demos worked fine. Haha. I'm happy that last one worked. That was fun setting that up. All right, so people, continuous delivery. Even though I had a couple of demo fails, that's fine. Continuous delivery on Windows Azure is really, really, really useful and cool. And I hope that you guys have seen a bunch of powerful ways to do that. We're going to have our secret guest coming on real soon. He's been sitting here on a stool looking at me. And I also have a question coming in. What unit test frameworks are supported in the continuous deployment system? That's a good question, Andy. If you're using Team Foundation Server, you're using the Team Foundation service. You're using Microsoft testing frameworks, right? And I believe that that's the only one which is supported right now. The Git one. Now, going back to Git, let's go back to that one once more. I want to show you that the Git project is actually not running the tests at all right now. So I have a test in here, which is failing just the same as the TFS one did, right? So I have a failing test right here. And if I decide to go and run that unit test, you're going to see that I get a fail. Okay? Fail. So it's not working. But I pushed this code to GitHub, and that code got pulled into the Git server on Windows Azure. The site got compiled, and it got deployed. Interesting. How did that happen? Well, it happened because if I go back to the website, which had a deployment on it, you will see that it actually is only building my, let me zoom in, it's kind of small, it's only building my web application. It's not actually even building, I think. I don't know, but I don't think it's even building my test project. It's certainly not running the tests. So if you want to use the integration with GitHub right now, it's not running your tests. So then the answer to your question in that respect is none. For the TFS, it's Microsoft tests. And what we're actually doing over on the, over on the last one, I am running tests as well. And let me show you. Over here, I'm running NUnit. So if you take full control and run it on TeamCity, well, then you run whatever you run on TeamCity. So I hope that answers your question. You can run any types of tests. And if you run the Microsoft way, probably Microsoft tests right now. Okay. Good question, though. Like that. Continuous delivery, as I said, it's a powerful thing. Use it. And also now, the secret guest is Microsoft PM Syed Hashimi. Welcome,
sir. Hey, Magnus.
Sir. Hey, how
are
you doing?
It was such a great demo that you've put on here. Thanks a lot
TFS
for
one?
Coming
yeah.
out.
Yeah, I like that. So what are you here to tell us, man?
Well, I wanted to let you guys know that along with all the goodness for automating build and deployment, We're still working on a great number of improvements in the web publishing space as well. I actually have a video that's coming up on the webcams with Brady.
When is that?
It should be coming up on this coming Monday, actually, for everybody to see. And I'll do a deep dive for everything on that Monday. But I actually do have a few kind of snippets to show you guys a preview. And I've given Magnus a couple screenshots here that we'd like to show off. Before we move into what this screenshot actually contains, let me tell you a little bit about what I won't be showing or talking about that you can see in the webcams talk later.
Right.
But there's fundamentally two web projects in Visual Studio. Those are the web application project, which Magnus has been showing here. There's also the website project. Website project is kind of, it's an ASP.NET application that kind of represents a set of folder. It's a folder on disk that has a collection of files inside of it. So if you are a website project user, you might have noticed that in Visual Studio 2012, there was no update whatsoever to the publishing bits.
Right. But so you can't actually publish a website today to Windows Azure, right?
You can with FTP.
With FTP.
We don't have... You'd have to go and get all your FTP information.
And load the files up
and
using
all that,
FTP.
Yeah. But so now, it was actually, I think, last week that we released our full support for website project as well. So now websites have the same exact support from a publishing perspective as web application project.
That's actually great news because I've had customers which have had to convert to web application, even though they didn't want to, because they wanted to go to Windows Azure. So that's actually great news.
Right.
Cool.
You know, and I really do, you know, the bread and butter of what I really used to do before I came to Microsoft was all web application project. I never really understood why people use website.
Right.
But now I've actually come to really love website because, you know, if I just have a folder on a disk that has a couple HTML files inside of it, I can just open it. Not that that's the only thing, but that's one reason why I really it.
And logically, that maps to the cloud as well. Like when you connect with an FTP, you have a folder and you put your stuff there and it runs and it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really cool, actually. By the way, when you connect, also when you connect with FTP, it's the same thing there. If you have your site running on three instances, not just one site, if you're running on three instances, you connect with FTP, you see one folder and you publish your files to that, and it automatically gets deployed to all three websites. And that is, I think, that is kind of a mind bender right there.
That's
What you would expect was that you'd have to log into three sites and deploy to each one, right?
That's right. Yeah, and actually, you know what? To kind of give people like a little secret, there's not three different. So basically, there's three instances of Windows Azure or Azure websites for
if you scale out to three
instances you create, right?
Yes.
But the trick is there's only one set of files.
That's right.
And we partnered with Microsoft Research to actually create some like underlying changes in like the Windows kernel that can kind of enable these new scenarios where we have different physical machines pointing back to the same locations. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome stuff. All right, cool. So talk about what we're seeing on screen.
So the funny part is you actually showed one of the problems that we're really simplifying during your demo.
Cool.
So one of the first things that you showed was, hey, let me take an existing project, publish it out to Azure websites, and then let me make a change to one file and then see that change.
Right.
So in your example, you had old message.
And new message.
And then you modified it to new message, and then you right-clicked on your project, you said publish, and then you published it. But what you were really trying to do was just publish that one particular file.
Yes.
We've heard this feedback from a lot of people. They really just, you know, they'll publish out their website.
Yep.
They might need to tweak some CSS or some JavaScript, and
then
they need to publish it back.
You don't need to publish everything again.
Like
just exactly, a small change.
Yeah. So So some of the features that we have are kind of more in line with that, except for the website stuff. So here on the screen behind us, you can see that we have a new set of context menus for the files inside your web projects. You can actually publish the files. You can preview the changes for the files, and then you could actually even do the opposite of publishing. You can update your local copy.
Yep.
So in this particular example, we see that I am actually previewing some changes. So I had a CSS file and I made a few modifications. I wanted to double check it before I published it to my site.
Yep.
So I right-clicked on the file and I said preview, and then it opens the preview and the beautiful diffing tool that we have in Visual Studio 2012.
But the cool thing is that it opens the files remotely, the remote file, and shows it to you.
That's right. What it does is it'll take your local source file and then compare that to the remote file, which is on your actual web server.
And show you a diff.
Right. Yep. And you'll get the full colorization and
seriously, how cool
everything.
Is that? Yep. That's really
that's
awesome.
That's right. That is really cool.
And you have one more.
Right. So I showed you what is the experience if you preview a CSS file, but you might be wondering what is the preview if I actually modify an image.
Right.
Okay. So here's the result if you modify an image. So if you modify an image and right-click and say compare, what we'll do is we'll show your local image next to the remote image, and then you can visually see the difference, double-check it, and then publish it right before you before you publish.
I really love that. That's cool.
That is very cool. And we've got these three shortcuts, Alt-P, Alt-P-C for compare,
right?
And then there's an Alt-P U, I think.
Yeah.
But that's actually going to be changing to an Alt-P-R.
All right, cool.
The dev just did that.
That's really cool that you can do compare images like that for remote and local. I can't tell you how many times I've wondered what is I'm updating when I'm doing it, and just hoping that I get it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, very cool. Thank you for coming on.
Cool.
I'm going to wrap things up here. Thank you. Wrapping up this session. Wait, there's more. Sorry, I couldn't resist doing that. Because this is going to sound a little bit like a used car salesman pitch thingy going here. So if you want to try all this out, it's absolutely for free. All of it is for free, and that's really, really cool. What you do is you head over to Microsoft.com/Visual Studio and drill down to Visual Studio 2012 Express. Download Visual Studio 2012 Express for web. Install that. Then you go over to WindowsAzure.com and you hit develop, and you can see all of these nice development options here. You can use many different types of languages, etc. But now, since my example is Visual Studio, you probably want to go with .NET. You might want to go with .NET or Node or something. But I'm a .NET guy, so I would have selected .NET. And you hit to install the SDK under the development center right there for .NET, and you get something like this, where you install the tooling for Visual Studio 2012 into your Express free Visual Studio right there. And then you go back to WindowsAzure.com and you hit something called free. If you see free trial or try it free, you hit that and you get an experience like this roughly. You get a 90-day free trial of Windows Azure. You get a quota that you can use every month, and it's detailed here exactly what you get. And also again, a tip to you guys here, if you have existing MSDN accounts, I've logged in with demo right here, with demo@magnusmartensen.com. Log in with the Microsoft account that has the MSDN subscription on it, and you will probably see something like you're eligible for a free upgrade something, because there is free Windows Azure usage included in your different levels of MSDN subscriptions. So that's kind of cool also. But you might want to start with a 90-day free trial, just like that. And, you know, if you're an open source person, let me just tell you that Microsoft loves open source. Here's Microsoft Windows Azure on GitHub. That's github.com/WindowsAzure. You can go there and you can find like all of the SDKs and everything that you use to build and deploy stuff to Windows Azure. All of those SDKs and toolings, all of that is just like open source on GitHub. You can just look at the source code and you can make changes if you like, and you might even consider submitting a pull request on a change that you make, and Microsoft will give you feedback on your feature request there. All right, cool. So we've seen that you can really do powerful stuff with Windows Azure websites, and you can go really fast deploying using whatever technology you like, Git or GitHub or Bitbucket or Team Foundation Service or whatever, and it's really fast and actually very, very reliable. What you need to do is set up automated builds, automated deployments, and just get it running. And the key is, again, automate everything. That's really what you must do. All right. So unless I've made it abundantly clear, let me just stress that we're going in a cloudy direction. And the really fast companies are being very cloudy today. And you should consider being cloudy as well, because that's really where we're going. I want to thank you all for listening. This has been a session by Magnus Martinsson. And if you want to get in touch with me, you have my contact information on screen. Thank you very much.